This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And you've made it again to the start of yet another week. It is March the 20th, 2023. The show that you have completely fallen head over heels in love with, DiPietro and Rothenberg, 98.7 ESPN. Before we get to any of the conversation about March Madness or the Knicks winning or the Nets losing or the Aaron Rodgers saga or Brandon Nimmo or any of it, I say good morning to my co-host and my better half, and then, of course, is one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David.
You sound effervescent.
I am fully rested. Had a big men's league hockey game yesterday.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Watched a little, believe it or not, this was actually on ESPN yesterday, some kickball.
All right, firstly,
you have Sprinkled in some kickball.
You have college basketball wall-to-wall. Nonstop from Thursday through Sunday, and you partook in kickball?
I was interested. Yeah, I saw it. I was like, what is this? Turned it on.
You know what?
Fast-pitch kickball.
You're like a dog. Like you dangle a piece of beef or chicken or pork in front of a dog, and all of a sudden, you could be going on a family walk, and now you're living with a different family.
Right. Tails a wagon.
That's right.
Give me a little fast-pitch kickball. I'm in.
Oh, it's fast-pitch kickball.
Full fast-pitch. They're taking pitches.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Now when they connect on it, how far are these things going?
Oh, this
bombs?
A couple bombs, yeah. I saw a couple bombs. I saw a bunt, I saw a sacrifice.
A bunt?
Oh yeah.
Really?
This is what I do for the show, Dave. I dabble.
Well, how does that help the show?
I don't know. I just said
by you watching kickball, what does that do for me?
That's because I dabble, Dave. If you want to talk kickball, we can talk kickball.
Yeah, I don't have that as something I might. Let me see
What happens if we get a phone call? Hey, I was watching kickball last night.
Uh huh.
Is that your great
concern? Someone's going to call with something over the course of the 4 hours that we do the show. You're not going to have full familiarity with that, and all of a sudden, show's going to go off the rails?
I want to be fully prepared.
Did you watch? I saw there was axe throwing at some point over the weekend.
I have watched axe throwing, yeah.
Did you watch it this weekend, though?
No, I was supposed to go. I was supposed to go this summer axe throwing, and I just decided that we didn't do it. I want to try it.
You want to try
it? Anita does it. Anita's done it before.
Anita's done axe throwing.
Yeah, the axe throwing. Have a couple of drinks, throw some axes.
Anita joined my basketball pool a lot of times.
A lot of times. I noticed that on the rundown.
She loves college basketball gambling. Or gambling by any stretch.
Yeah, I wouldn't
pigeonhole her into college basketball.
I think it's just gambling in general.
What, you think there was gambling on the kickball this weekend?
Probably not.
No?
I think she was focused more on college basketball.
A lot of college basketball.
By the way, because we won't lead the show with this. We should, but we won't.
Okay.
Because you're soft.
How am I soft?
Well, Rangers are a problem, dude. Yeah. Rangers are a problem.
That was awesome. What a weekend. What a weekend. But even Santiago, I walk in today, he's like, well, I mean, if you look, I mean, Nashville didn't really have their guys. And this
Who cares?
Was 7-0. Game was 6 goals first period. So this is funny. My niece goes to BU. And she was in town for the weekend, and her boyfriend's sister, right? So my niece's boyfriend's sister sang the national anthem at the Garden last night.
Oh, awesome.
So she went to the game, and she's texting me during the game. She goes, they have 5 goals in the first period. Is this kind of thing normal? And I was like, no.
It's not supposed to be. No.
No. Yeah. She goes, well, how often does something like this happen? I was like, well, really? Never. I said, you're going to the unicorn game. I said, it never happened. Then they scored again. She's like, and 6? I was like, I don't know that I've ever seen the Rangers score 6 goals in a period. I don't know that I ever have.
Well, no, we just talked about this last week. They had what? I mean, the one game they had, what, 10 goals combined
Florida,
in the first
Florida
period?
Florida had 7. And whoever they were playing had 3.
Right. No, this was, dude, I'm telling you what, they're starting to figure it out. This was without Lindgren back, too. So Sturken keeps playing well. First round series is going to be unbelievable.
Devils, Rangers. I guess, actually. because we just assume it's Devils Rangers. I guess it could clearly be Carolina.
It could be Carolina. Because right now the Devils only a point back.
Right, and the Rangers have Carolina twice this week.
Regardless, I cannot wait.
Really? And your Islanders are taking care of business, so they're now in position they're going to get in. And they might be good enough that they don't have to face Boston in the first round.
I hope.
Of course
you hope. We got a big one tomorrow against Toronto.
Big game. That's a big game.
Nice.
So how much, we could talk a little hockey later on as the show progresses. I love that. Of course, today's Monday, so we go around the league at 7:45 and stuff you missed at 9:45. How much college basketball do you watch this weekend?
I watched a lot.
You're probably flipping back and forth from the kickball and the knife throwing and all that kind of
stuff. No, that was like an extra little treat. You know, it's like what could I have to cleanse the palate? How about some kickball?
So kickball was the visual sorbet for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A little lemon. Delicious. Okay. I had all the TVs working. I get mad at myself every time I watch one of these games and I'm like, I was telling RJ, it's like, why do I not just pick Michigan State to at least get to the second week? I don't know why I don't do it.
They go every year. They're not even that good, and they go every year. He is just a coaching genius is what he is.
Because he's awesome. And then UConn, the kid Sanogo is a beast.
Yeah, he's a beast. They're good. They can score. They handily beat St. Mary's, who's a pretty good team. And the thing that you have to notice is St. Mary's a really good defensive team. And UConn had no trouble scoring against them. None.
No problem.
Yeah, I mean, they're very good. Princeton, New Jersey owns the tournament.
Owns it.
Princeton, they're alive here in the Sweet 16. See, here's the thing. I watched Princeton against Arizona, and I thought Princeton didn't impress me that much. Arizona was just, they were that bad. They were absolutely awful. And then you watch Princeton against Missouri, they ran them out of the building.
Right.
They were terrific in that game on Saturday.
I think that happens sometimes, though, man. Like, I'm with you. We talked about that Arizona game. Like, it just felt like Arizona just was going to... They thought they could show up and they would just beat Princeton, and Princeton wins. But you saw the kids after they beat Missouri. Like, anything is possible. Like, once you beat a team like Arizona, now you start to believe, like, hey, if we could beat them, why can't we win this next game? And all of a sudden, the confidence starts growing. And before you know it, you're headed to the Sweet 16, baby.
Yep, and they take on Creighton. That's a Friday at 9 o'clock. And then... Well, firstly, this portion of the show is driven by the All-American Ford Auto Group. They are the number one volume Ford group in the Northeast. Huge locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant. Shop allamericanford.net. That's allamericanford.net. And how about FDU? I mean, you know what? Not only does FDU win that first game, I thought last night's game was just so exciting against Florida Atlantic. But I'll tell you what. You watch these big teams play, and it's just like Arizona and Purdue, and they look like they want no part of these big moments against these teams that they should clearly beat.
No, well, I mean, it's because they're supposed to. I mean, you're expected to beat these teams. I was upset that FDU didn't win.
Last night?
Yeah, because it would have been
a great game, though.
Yeah, I know, but you saw, you know, listen to the coach before the game. If we win this one, I'll jog back to New York. Like, how awesome would that have been?
Would have been great. They would have been at the Garden.
What is their campus, 10 miles from the Garden?
Yeah, maybe.
I think it's 10 miles there. That would have been amazing.
Would have been amazing. And the crowd would have been so pro FDU. But, you know, listen, they had their moment in the sun. That was a great moment.
Right. No, you're not wrong. It's just, I mean, it would have been nice to have that.
Did you watch that game at all on Friday, the Purdue?
I did.
So I think you have to root for FDU, right? Unless you're in my house where Alex picked Purdue to win the whole thing.
Oh, no.
And now he's... I mean, oh, scream.
No. Oh, Edie, not Alex.
Yeah, Edie, you're a disaster. I hate you.
What happened to him? What happened to Edie?
Edie was the one guy that was good. The rest of the team, like, clammed up. They were awful.
Yeah, but not Lady wasn't good.
Well, they tried to get the ball to him. They were double and triple teaming him, and then he'd kick it out, and they couldn't hit a shot. I'm telling you, watching these teams play, you realize you're watching college kids, because the moment it gets to them. I mean, Arizona didn't score for, like, the final 5 minutes. Right. Purdue, they're calling timeouts. They're hoisting up threes. They look like they have no idea. I mean, this is a team. They won the Big Ten regular season. They won the Big Ten postseason, right, the conference tournament. And then they show up for the NCAA tournament. And the moment, it felt like it was too big for them.
Yeah, too big. Or they just think, I mean, you just go in expecting to just win games like that. And then all of a sudden, pressure ramps up, and you get in those close moments. And you're right. I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's kids. And that's why, I mean, coaching in college basketball is really important. Really important. I think that's why, we just talked about Michigan State. I think that's why, you know, Izzo is so good.
He's awesome. He really is.
He has these guys ready for these moments.
Did you watch any of that Duke and Tennessee game this weekend?
Dude, I'm so mad at Duke right now.
Well, did you watch Tennessee play? It's like football.
Yeah, right.
But like I guess you win the game. It's you watch Tennessee play and then you watch other teams play. It's not even like the same sport.
Well, I don't think they care.
Maul you. No.
Yeah, right.
And
I don't think they care.
Nor should they. But it's not overly pleasing to the eye, I'll tell you that.
No, aesthetically, it's not fun to watch. But listen, I don't care. Whatever it takes. I mean, that's how you neutralize. If you're playing a team you feel like is a little bit more skilled than you, you just beat the crap out of them.
It's exactly what they did. It felt like that was boys against men in that game.
Right. I think that's a lot of what you see sometimes in college basketball. What was it, the San Diego State-Furman game?
Yeah.
When it was like, okay, Furman is playing against men now. Like, San Diego State is some men
some
boys.
That's exactly right. So, in my pool, the one that Raymond so graciously, forgot to join. Oh, you were running a pool. I forgot about that. So, he's out. RJ might as well have not joined. He's out. RJ, who would you pick to win the whole thing?
The Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah, and that didn't turn out well for
you. Yeah, why though? Why did you pick Kansas? You were the one that was talking about, well, Bill Self's not going to coach the first couple games. I'm nervous.
I thought he'd be back.
Said he was out for the first weekend.
Well, the first game.
No, they said the first weekend.
That was
not
the initial report.
Nobody repeats. They didn't have Bill Self.
Yeah, but I...
Rick, I agree with you. It was a strange selection by you.
Strange.
Well, I didn't like Houston. Actually, still don't like Houston. Alabama looks
good.
They look better than I thought they
were.
Very
good.
Yeah.
And Miller played well in game two.
That's probably the pick.
Picked Alabama to win the whole thing?
You did.
I did.
No, I did.
So did I.
I did. Yeah, but how many Final Fours do you have left?
I think two.
Yeah, I have three.
No, stop it. I love how we have the same amount of points and you're bad-mouthing me.
I didn't bad-mouth you.
In the rundown. Yeah, you did.
What do you mean?
Now I can see why you don't do these things.
Well, you lost
the
finalist.
Same amount of points as you.
You lost the finalist.
Yeah, but I'm still the same amount of points
as
you.
Yeah, but I didn't lose a finalist. No, and at the time of the writing of the email, I had all four of my Final Four teams.
Right.
I took
now
Marquette to go.
Yeah,
now I don't. Now I have three. But I have UCLA in the finals.
Oh, God. See, you're the worst.
Why?
Because I asked you about UCLA. I asked you about that.
Right.
And you talked me out of UCLA.
Don't listen to me.
No, you're a bad guy.
How am I a bad guy?
Because I was doing investigative work for us in Bristol, and I told you I came in on the bacchanal of college basketball people,
right.
And I asked, and they said UCLA. And I brought that info back, and you didn't
Well, they do have some injuries, but when I was filling out my bracket, now in fairness to me, I didn't fill out my bracket until about 11:30 on Thursday. And I was sitting there, I was like, I don't think Gonzaga's that great. I don't think this team's that great. I don't trust Kansas. I don't like Houston. You know what? By process of elimination. So my intent might have been not to take UCLA, but as I was filling out the bracket, I went with UCLA, and I'm not going to apologize for it.
I'm not listening to anybody next year. Nobody.
But you can't help yourself.
No. I'm going to lock myself in a room.
You'd ask the rats in New York City of who to take in some of these games.
I'm going
to
lock myself in a room, because I can't say room because people get all upset, and I'm not listening to anybody.
Mm-hmm. You think RJ? Think there's any chance that he doesn't listen to any outside?
You guys
noise?
All give me false information.
You're still alive. You're doing okay.
Yeah, yeah,
but I'm
great.
See, because I knew this was going to happen. Because he did it on purpose. He gave me the free entry so he could mock me.
No, I'd mock you anyway.
No, you wouldn't.
Of course I would. Just wait. Today's a comment day.
Because you're lazy.
Not because I'm lazy. I put in my original email that I sent out, RJ. True or not true? That it's just too much for me to do comments for every person every day, and I will do it half the time. So,
I'm a hero.
That is true. You cut expectations out right at the knees.
That's right. So day one didn't do it. Day two did it. Day three didn't do it. Day four, we'll do it.
I will say, when I joined this pool back a decade or so ago, comments daily, off days even.
That's because he was on some hack. He was like, he wasn't even doing full time.
Yeah. Like, well, now I have the fortune of doing the show with you in the middle of the night. That's right. So here's the thing. When I
dragged
started
out of the
pool,
gutter.
When I met Sherry, the pool was already underway. Guess how many people did this pool back 22 years ago?
Six.
Started with 11.
11 people.
11,
there's a lot in this pool now.
11 people. Now it's well over 100. So to do comments for 11 people. In, you're out, you're done, thank you. 100 plus, it takes time.
I mean, there used to be off-day comments.
It takes time.
Yeah, I'm sure Mr. Bockenheimer, he would like some comments.
There's a lot of the whole Bockenheimer family.
I noticed that.
Oh, my God. I mean, you got like four Anita Marks. You got every member of the Bockenheimer family.
You got the Grecos. You got a whole lots of families.
Lots
involved.
Of people. You know what? It's family fun is what it is. My pool is fun for the entire family.
Yeah, Dave, same point. Same amount of points as me. He gets your fearless leader. And then me. Now I see why you don't want to do this.
You know what? At least someone's reading the comments.
And then I got Anita Marks. 1, 2, 4.
Yeah, 4. She joined 4 times. Thank God she paid. I'd have to send someone after her.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mitch Henderson will be on the K Show today, 4:30. Maybe you listen to Mitch Henderson. You really envelop that interview, and then we discuss it tomorrow morning on the show, and you're like, boy,
okay.
I love this Mitch Henderson.
Okay.
Right?
I am a Harvard guy.
Well, you are. It's part of your Ivy League connection.
Right.
How much WBC did you watch this weekend?
I watched. I'm into it.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I have mixed feelings. Every time Trey Turner comes to bat and hits a home run,
no.
I'm like, well, this is awesome. Oh, this is going to be a problem.
Well, him, Schwarber, Real Muto.
Right?
They'll get Harper back. Yeah, that's a scary lineup.
A terrifying lineup. Right? They still have Zach Wheeler. I mean, that's right. They had Taiwan Walker to this team. That's a terrifying lineup. So U.S. wins last night. Japan and who's just playing Mexico?
Mexico.
And is that tonight?
That's today, yeah.
And then when's the final?
Tomorrow, yeah.
And then that's it.
And that's all she wrote.
And then these guys all come back to camp, except for Edwin Diaz and Jose Altuve. Everybody else, and Nolan Arenado, I guess, got hit last night, too, and left the game. But they say his is not going to be a major issue.
And we got Nimmo slotted in funky at the second base, which is awesome.
I was listening to a sports
Could
radio over the weekend.
Walk off the field.
I was listening to sports radio over the weekend, and the host of the show, I'm not going to say who it was or what station, the host of the show was incensed. Do you know why this host was incensed?
Why was this host incensed, Dave?
Why would you slide? It's spring training. Why would you slide? And
so why even play it then?
I mean, why you slide? Of course you slide. Otherwise, you stand up and the ball gets thrown into your temple.
We're over the top of this now. This knee jerk reaction now to the WBC.
Well, to everything,
which the players clearly love.
They love it. They love it. They absolutely love it.
Arenado actually came out and said, I don't understand why all the stars in our league don't play in this.
Well, I mean, Aaron Judge is not in this thing, right?
Well, Judge, look at the pitchers. I mean, I can understand some of the
pitchers. Severino, you can't let Severino go to this thing.
No.
The guy he's never healthy to begin with.
I know, but I mean, Scherzer's not pitching it. He explained why. I can understand the pitchers, but I mean, if I'm Mike Trout or I'm one of the faces of baseball, like I feel like Pete Alonso feels. Like, yeah, obviously I want to win a World Series, but I also want to, I mean, I have the chance to do both.
Right.
Is I get ready for the season, I'm actually taking like high-intensity, legitimate at-bats. We're trying to actually win games as opposed to just kind of working on stuff in spring training.
Most of these guys feel a tremendous connection to play in the World Baseball Classic.
Dude, this is, I'm telling you right now, and this is why I joke, but I'm kind of serious when I say I hate Canada. Do you want to know why I hate Canada?
You don't hate Canada.
No, I hate Canada.
Well, that's not right. And
no,
then RJ,
right.
He's going to chime in. He hates Canada, too.
Let me explain why.
Go ahead.
Okay. Toronto, enjoy going to Toronto. Montreal, love Montreal. Vancouver, all of it. I'll tell you why I hate Canada. because you will play with a bunch of Canadians on your team and they're your best buddies. The second you play in a World Championships or an Olympics or a World Juniors and they put the Canada jersey on, you're nothing. They're better than you.
Well, you just went through all the cities. Oh, I love Vancouver. I love Montreal. I love Toronto. Then you don't hate Canada.
I hate Canadians.
You hate the Canadian people is what
you
hate.
I hate Canadians. Yeah, I hate
even
Canadians.
Even more streamlined, you hate the Canadian hockey players. What you
Rick
hate.
Tuchin.
No, I wouldn't say that. I have
yeah, that's exactly what you
Canadian
said.
Hockey players.
Canucks.
You don't hate the nation. You don't hate Justin Trudeau and all of Canada. You hate the hockey playing Canadians is who you
Rick
hate.
Rick Tuchin.
No, I hate the fact that Canadians, they're so uppity about how good they are at hockey. I don't like it. So this is the chance for Team USA to prove to people that we're the best. And there's some pride you take in that.
There's a lot of pride that you take in that. So,
well, they do. A lot of people that don't want to watch that are against the WBC.
I don't know. I think they're against the WBC. I understand, though. I do. I understand if you're a huge Mets fan and you're not over the top about the WBC, and now the WBC stole your closer for the season.
It's got to start somewhere, though.
I'm not saying that those people are crazy. I think it's a fair take right now. Now, it's over the top stuff.
The man was celebrate. He was hopping around celebrating.
I know. But they don't. They look at it as he went to the World Baseball Classic and he's not coming back.
Right. Yeah. Although he's optimistic.
That he's going to come back this season?
He sounds like a very, very optimistic guy.
I love that.
Yeah, I would like to get to know Edwin Diaz a little bit. You don't get much from him.
I don't know how you're going to get to know him.
In the locker room, he's a real like a big time club
leader.
Well,
you could see how Team Puerto Rico felt. Right?
Well, they were devastated. They were crying.
Did you see his brother walked out to the trumpets?
Yeah, and then wet himself.
I was going to mention that, but yeah, he walked right out to the trumpets.
You have to mention it. It's what happened.
And they had his jersey hanging in the dugout. I mean, that's cool stuff.
Well, you saw Kike Hernandez was like. I mean, you could tell they had been crying in the clubhouse.
Absolutely, you could tell. Did you see, by the way, that your Italian team had an espresso maker in the in the dugout?
Yeah, we don't mess around. Need a quick pick-me-up.
What? Seventh inning stretch. I was like, do me a favor. Make me a quick espresso.
Right. That was that when I first turned pro, because in college, I never drank. Like, we had, like, you know, caffeine stuff, whatever, but you never drank coffee. And we had one of our older guys, Tommy Dagerman, would always smell like coffee. And we're like, oh, my God, your breath stinks. He's like, well, I need some coffee. And as a freshman in college, I'm like, why do you drink coffee? He's like, trust me, you'll drink coffee. And then the next year when I turned pro, everybody drank coffee. So you just naturally start drinking coffee.
And we owe that to Tommy Dagerman?
Dagerman. No, not him. I didn't start because of him. I started because when you get to the NHL, it's like there's a big coffee right away.
Coffee
in a heat pack. That's what Snowy said one day. We're in the locker room. And this was like the time where they started doing like these dynamic warm-ups. So we had a strength coach that would come in and be like, all right, let's go. Dynamic warm-up. And Snowy would be sitting there with the heat pack and goes, Sean, I already warmed up. He goes, no, you didn't. He goes, yeah, I got a heat pack and a coffee. I'm warm. Let's go.
That's all he needed, huh?
That's all he needed.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. By the way, has there been any confirmation that Mel has received the whipped cream shipment?
Not on my end, but he had to have. I got confirmation that it was delivered.
You got confirmation. RJ, have you gotten any word from Mel?
So I've gotten no word regarding
the cream?
The shipment. Ooh. However.
Yeah.
Trending towards Mel on the show tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
So you've been in touch with Mel then?
I've been in touch with Mel's people.
Oh, well, ask Mel's people if he got the whipped cream.
No.
Why?
Because that's awkward.
This time of the year. So I could reach out right to Mel. This time of the year, though, because his schedule is so... Because he would happily come on the show. What we've encountered in the past, though, is he's being promised elsewhere by the network. So you kind of have to work through the schedule.
So you could if you chose to.
Mel's got to swing it at some point, though, and choose what he wants.
That's right. He's Mel Kiper Jr., for God's sakes.
So it's us or Greeny and get up, make a choice right now.
Yeah.
I think he would choose us.
How does he not? I mean, I feed his addiction.
That's right.
You are the dealer.
I'm his dealer. You know what the best part of this whole thing is, though? Is I walk right in now to FedEx, and they see the box, and they say, where's this going? I say, Mel, don't even finish the last day.
Yeah.
They go, it's whipped cream, isn't it? I said, yep, let's go.
Mel, you go through a can a day of whipped cream?
Yeah.
That is one of the great drops that we have here on the show.
It's a one seed.
It's a Rain Man is what it is.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
You know, it's somewhat troubling, by the way, before we get to some of these calls and I play the sound from our friend Mel Kiper Jr.
The clip I sent you, what?
Yeah, how do you get these clips on social media?
I don't know.
No, like, seriously, like you said stuff, like, how are you stumbling upon these things?
It just popped up. I don't know.
These are the type of things we're supposed to forward to HR, just FYI.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think happens if I go to HR and I say, I'm very uncomfortable with what's going on in the workplace? He's gone in 10, like, he doesn't even have a defense. He's just gone.
It just goes to show you how much I trust you guys.
Well,
you never know. Well,
you know, I'm just saying you never know.
What?
Just saying you never know.
Uncomfortable silence.
That's nice.
I would never, but I can't speak for the other two. But I would never. But keep
sending
them.
It's not just the other two.
It's tremendous ammunition at some point.
That's what it is.
So do you find it at all off-putting, concerning that I had my, and I didn't realize it at the time, I don't want to say issue, but I guess my issue with Debbie Duhaime on Friday.
And now I find it very concerning.
And now she's not here today?
Yeah, well, you wax poetic. In my mind, I thought, okay, he's doing this to try to make up for Debbie, and it was Janelle Crispin.
That's right.
Who comes with so much energy. It's crazy.
No, she loves traffic. Nobody loves traffic like Janelle Crispin. But yeah, I mean, I feel a little, to say a little concern would be an understatement. So if you didn't hear on Friday, and I didn't think it was a big deal, everyone's like coming down on me now.
But that's the big deal. That's the problem, is you didn't think
that's
it was
right.
A big deal.
That's right, and I still don't. So really, I'm very troubled. So Debbie was in studio Thursday, and I had made a promise that I was going to be out of here by 10 o'clock. And she said, oh, I'd love to take a picture with you and with Rick and put it on social media. And I said, listen, Debbie, sounds great. Don't have time. And she says, oh, I'll be back in April. We'll do it then. I said, great. Anytime you come back in April, outside of the first week, I'm on vacation. I said, other than that, I'm here for you. We'll take the picture then. Right? I didn't think it was a big deal. You guys think big deal, awful guy, whatever. Fine. Now she's not here today.
Right.
Uh-oh.
I think you turned her off. And she is the traffic maven of the people, for the people, by the company.
She loves the traffic. She feels at one with traffic, and now she decided that she was not going to work with us today.
Yeah, because you were a jerk.
Debbie, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
I think it's too late for that.
You don't think there's any recovering from that?
No. No,
great.
I don't.
Great.
For the amount of time that it took you to say, no, I'm not available to take a picture.
Well, if you were out and ready, I would have taken the picture.
All you had to do was say, hey, Rick, Debbie's here. Let's take a picture. I would have been, boom, right out.
No, but I know how it works. Well, hang on. I got to do my hair. And let me pack up. And I got all these pens. And I know how it works.
You're always deflecting. Always just shifting blame all over the place.
All right. Let's get to a story that I think is going to give you some consternation. Mel Kiper Jr. and what he said about the Jets once they fully acquire Aaron Rodgers. Here he is.
Yeah, the Jets are a Super Bowl contender.
The New York Jets?
New York Jets have become a Super Bowl contender with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, let's face it. Green Bay was a Super Bowl contender every year with Aaron Rodgers, right? We always predicted, Green Bay's going to be in the Super Bowl. Green Bay. Because of Aaron. Yeah. He's been to one Super Bowl when he won it. That's all he's been to. When Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback and you have the supporting cast that the Jets have, and you're talking about Breece Hall running back coming off that injury, if he's ready to go, and you have Garrett Wilson, and you have an O-line that is iffy. That's why that 13th pick. I don't think that Joe Douglas, the GM, wants to part with that.
Well, we know he doesn't want to part with it. You know why he doesn't want to part with it, because he wants to ensure the offensive line is going to be good. But, I mean, you keep running from it and deflecting it. You don't want to believe it, and it's not legitimate. If once they acquire Aaron Rodgers, the expectation is going to be Jets have a real chance to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I came around. I said I understand what the expectation is going to be. I'm not going to allow that to dictate how I watch this team this season. I'm going to enjoy every week.
You can enjoy every week.
And by the way,
if they lose games, I think people are going to lose their minds.
If you weren't such a wagon, you would have realized that Mel was saying that mockingly.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
No, he was not.
Yeah, he was. He was throwing it. That was like a backhanded call. They're Super Bowl contenders, but they always are. He's only been to one Super Bowl, and you have an iffy offensive line.
He was not mocking.
Yes, he was.
RJ, was Mel being legitimate with that, or was he mocking?
Well,
it was a little bit of both.
I think it was a little bit. It started out serious, I can tell you that. Like, he was answering the question, but I do think it delved into.
Oh, I think he made fun of Aaron Rodgers a little bit there. But the whole soundbite was not mocking.
No, but I. Okay. I think he's speaking to my point, though, is yes, the second this is done, and who knows what other moves we'll make, maybe they sign Odell or whatever ends up happening, offensive line gets fixed as much as it can be fixed, they're gonna be expected. That's the only reason you bring him in. They're in that conversation. My question to you is it a fair conversation to be in? That all of a sudden they go from not making the playoffs, haven't made the playoffs in 12 years, to now they're in the Super Bowl.
See, let me say this now. I don't understand what not making the playoffs for 12 years means. Like who cares?
You think
9 years ago has any impact on where they are now?
No, but I think you have a young team that's never been in the playoffs.
Well, you know what? The Bengals had a young team that was never in the playoffs 2 years ago, and they went to the Super Bowl and led in the fourth quarter.
Okay, I mean, remind me, when was the last time Aaron Rodgers has played great in the postseason?
So then why acquire him at all?
Because you have no quarterback.
I mean, the expectation is this guy's going to come here, and he's going to be a difference maker, and you're going to make a major run. That's right. The expectation.
Right, and the expectation was last year in Week 18 that they were going to win and be in the playoffs. Or that they were going to beat Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco in Lambeau.
Listen, I understand your
point.
I mean,
that's always the expectation. With greatness comes those kind of expectations, but it hasn't worked out.
All right, so then you have real reservations about this?
No, I don't have real reservations. I think they'll be a playoff team, and I think they're probably going to win a playoff game. To say that all of a sudden now they put themselves in the same conversation as Cincinnati and Kansas City, I think is crazy.
I don't think it's nuts to think about the Jets as one of the teams in the AFC.
Well, yeah, I don't. I think it's Kansas City and Cincinnati and then everybody else. That's how I look at the AFC.
Well, can't you win your division and have a great regular season?
I think you can win
season.
Your division. Yeah. No, I think you can win your division. Right. Aaron Rodgers has had plenty of those seasons where he's won 13 games.
So you win your division and you have a great regular season and you get, let's just say you have a great year and you get the 2 seed. And you lose in the AFC Championship game to Kansas City. No one's going to say that's... I mean, that's going to be it's a great season.
Yeah, as long as Aaron Rodgers is now going to come back for year two.
But there's no guarantee of that.
All right, but I mean, that's the scary part, is that you have an unbelievable regular season. You say you get to the AFC Championship game, and you lose in a shootout to Patrick Mahomes. And then we get to the offseason, and Aaron decides, yeah, I don't know if I want to come back.
You got to play the whole game again. But,
right,
but
so now what?
Here's what I will say. If the Jets get to the AFC Championship game, and Rodgers plays well, and you lose it 34-28, you really think he's going to say, yeah, I mean, listen, who knows with this guy? Anything can happen.
I don't know.
Right. I guess that's fair. But you really think he's going to say, yeah, you know what, I'm not coming back. He's going to leave on that note.
I don't know, Dave. He's toyed around with retirement for the last couple of years. I don't know if all of a sudden now he just is done. I don't think so. I wouldn't.
Right. But that's.
But
that's
I also wouldn't go on a 4-day darkness retreat.
That's the thing. When we sit here, we analyze what would he do? What should he do? What might he do? We have no idea. We have no idea. He's a different kind of guy, and the expectations that you would have, like. And I don't mean this in a negative way or it's going to come off like that. Like a normal guy, I think you kind of get in between the ears and say, this is what I think he'll do because it's a normal person. But Aaron Rodgers is very different. And I don't think the same things that make almost everyone else tick makes him tick.
Well, athlete-wise, I don't think it's just, I mean, I think there's a lot of people. I mean, everyone's searching for, you know, happiness. And there's a lot of guys, I think Tom Brady being one of them, whose happiness is dictated by football. Like his feet, like his the thing he loves most in the world is football.
Brady.
And that makes him makes him his happiest. I think that Aaron loves football, but I think he also has other things that make him happy. Otherwise, why would you be he went into darkness 90% retired, if you want to believe that.
If you believe that.
I can only believe what he tells me. He said 90%.
Right. And we don't know. We have no idea. And yes, you're right. Whatever happens this year, I would think, and again, you can't figure it out because he's a guy that's very difficult to figure out, but I would think the better he does and the better the team does, the harder it'll be to retire after 1 year with the Jets.
Right, yeah. The hope is if you don't get to the Super Bowl and win it, is that they had such a great season and he's had such a good time that he's like, no, I can't leave this now.
That's right. We have unfinished business here.
Right.
Exactly. Let's go to, I mean, we have an eclectic bunch of calls. We have Rangers. We have Knicks. We have Jets. We have everything. That's what we do.
It's a nice board right there.
It is a nice board. Let's go down the board and start. He's now become a regular on the show. He's a good caller, too. Mike in Miami. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Gentlemen, top of the morning. How was the weekend?
You know what? Never long enough, but it was good.
Oh, God. So I called to talk about the final four, but I got to hop around quick. I'm going to give you my final four picks quick, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go Bama, Tennessee, UConn, Miami in the final four. Have to comment that the Rangers are making things really fun. So are the Knicks. But I got to go back to my roots here. I think the Jets are definitely going to have Rodgers for 2 years, and I could see us being in a situation where, like I said, we're going to go all in this year. He'll come back next year. We'll see what happens. But I think, Rick, I normally always agree with you, but like, I think this is the year, man. We got to push for the Super Bowl. We got to push.
Well, you're pushing.
We're going all the way.
Mike, you're pushing for the Super Bowl. You have to. Of course you're pushing for the Super Bowl because you don't know how long it's going to last. They're clearly all in. It sounded like the Fletcher Cox deal was done in their mind, and then all of a sudden the Eagles swooped in last second and took Fletcher Cox. They're sniffing around all the big-time free agents. I wouldn't be surprised if they signed Odell. So, they're going all in. They're going to try to put the best team on the field to try to help Aaron Rodgers win a Super Bowl.
I got to admit, I was surprised to see Adam Thielen sign with Carolina today. I really thought that he was actually going to be the guy that we
got. I don't think he has a lot left, Mike.
I don't either. But, again, 1 year, you put him in there. And, dude, Garrett Wilson and I think, I'm just blanking right now. The kid we just signed from Green Bay.
Signed Lazard, though.
Lazard. But I thought Thielen would kind of come in and be like a veteran guy. I mean, obviously I was wrong, but I think we will actually go for an Odell now and like really, really go for this thing.
Mike, don't forget, too. Like, there's probably a chance that you're going to sign Randall Cobb, too.
Well, you have to.
I know, but this guy is going to be like the sixth guy. He's going to be like a coach, basically.
Okay, but so how many wide receivers? You just brought in Lazard. You got Elijah Moore.
Yep.
You got Garrett Wilson.
You got Mims.
You got Mims. You still got Corey Davis.
Yeah, but for the moment.
Well, for the moment, see what happens. And then Odell's just sitting out there, and he was on the wish list.
Right. Now, he was on the wish list, but the Cowboys were supposed to be rumored to be going after him. I can't imagine they will now with the trade for Brandon Cooks.
No, right. And then, I mean, he's already working. He's working Sterling Shepard to get Joe to call his agent. I guess he's saying that the most money he's been offered is $4 million.
Which is crazy.
Well, crazy when you're looking for 15 to 20.
But he's never going to get anything close to that.
Well, not clearly.
He didn't play for a season and has two ACL injuries. And he's in his 30s now. You're not getting $15 million a year.
Okay, so, I mean, do you now, if it's not going to be an outrageous amount of money, I mean, if you're the Jets, don't you have to consider it?
100%.
Right.
I mean, it's what Rodgers wants. You still figure the upside is there. Could you imagine that? Beckham, Moore, Garrett Wilson, Conklin, Mims, Lazard. Breece Hall, Lazard, with Aaron Rodgers a quarterback.
Don't forget Mercedes Lewis.
Well, he's not here yet. But it is exciting to think. What do you have, 4 receptions last year? 6
doesn't
receptions?
Matter. Locker room guy.
He's an enormous human being, too.
He's humongous.
Yeah. Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Hi, Cullum. You're on 98.7, bud.
Oh, good morning, Dave, Rick, and the whole company. Just shift gears a little bit and talk about, one of the most exciting teams in all sports right now, which is the New York Knicks. You know, they secured their, fourth winning season in 2 decades. And that's just crazy to me because basically most of my fandom is the Knicks being bad and having losing seasons. But it's super exciting, and it just shows a fully healthy, well-rested team has the ability to compete and beat any team on any given night. Now, I mentioned in the past, possibility of, winning a first round and competing in a second. But my question to you guys is, at what point is – it's not a fairy tale where the conversation is, oh, there's no way. At what point did the percentages go up and you say there's a chance, there's a possibility that they can win a second round or do something special in the playoffs?
See, I'm like Rick when he analyzes the Jets and says he's just going to sit back and enjoy. I feel the same way about the Knicks. Though I think there's a possibility they beat Philadelphia or Boston. I don't want to think about that right now. All I want to think about with the Knicks is shoot
get
for the 4.
Get the 5 seed.
Shoot for the 4.
Right.
Probably get the 5. Compete and hopefully beat Cleveland, and then we'll see what happens. I don't I think it's bad fandom. I think it's silly to sit here and say, can we beat Boston in a 7-game series when that's 10 miles down the road? Why am I concerned about that right now?
You don't even know what it's going to look like. Why are we trying to rush through this? The regular season's not even over yet.
Because this is human nature.
Win. Celebrate the win. I mean, more importantly, Brunson being back is huge.
And he looked healthy good. Too, which is great.
Mitch finishing the game off. Keep him quiet for a minute about his touches. The dunk. RJ was good.
He was good. It's good. Listen, RJ Barrett, when he gets to the basket, is a really good player.
He's at his best when he attacks.
When RJ Barrett has to shoot the ball from distance, it's when you have issues with him.
It was funny. They asked Tibbs after the game because RJ was good. I mean, it was noticeable. He was good. And he was aggressive. And Tibbs is like, that's all it is. Don't make it more difficult than it has to be. Be aggressive. Get to the rim. Take your shot. Don't fade away or you kick it out. We don't have to make this.
Go ahead.
Overcomplicate. Yes, overcomplicate.
Okay. You're so pleased about that?
No. Okay. No, I'm not pleased at all. By the way, for all the people that, they love going after Tibbs.
Yeah.
I saw this weekend. So this is the second time the Knicks have clinched an over 500 season in the 3 years. So second time in 3 years under Tom Thibodeau. Before Tibbs took over, the Knicks were over 500 three times in 19 years.
Pretty good.
That's really good.
Pretty good.
Listen, minutes, please.
He's a good coach.
He's a good coach.
He's a good coach.
This team fits. This team fits his style.
The only question, yes, it does. Like Josh Hart, right? The really workmanlike. The only question you have is at what point, if at all, does he burn them out? Because that's always been the knock on this guy.
Yeah, but he's got some young legs. Well, you saw it. I mean, you saw that stretch where Randall and Quickly were gassed.
Oh, my God. They had nothing left. After that Celtics game, which was such a good game, they had absolutely nothing left.
No, they had nothing in the tank. But listen, that's a big – there's some fraudulence, I think, to Denver. But still, that was that's the best team in the West. And you're down 13 in the third. You ramp up the defense. All of a sudden, you're out in transition, and you close it out late.
It was a weird game, though. Like, they came out big lead, fell apart. Second quarter was terrible. Fell behind by double-digit points. Came back, tied it in the fourth quarter, and then went on to win that game. It had ebbs and flows, that game.
It did. But you found a way late.
Yeah. Listen, that's what good teams do. And I think you can say it. I think you can say it with confidence. The Knicks are a good team right now.
Knicks are a good team.
Yeah. The Counting Crows are coming to PNC Bank Arts Center on Thursday, July the 6th. And North will help at Jones Beach Theater on Saturday, July the 8th. And we have your chance to score tickets all week, as does the Michael Kay Show, all from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday, 10 o'clock at livenation.com. The lead singer for the Counting Crows, Adam Duritz. Do you know who he once dated?
Who?
One of my faves. Absolute faves. Yeah.
I think I know this.
Kay loves her too.
No idea.
Jennifer Aniston.
He did?
He did.
Oh. There was a time there when Kay thought he could have Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't question it.
Of course you wouldn't.
Who wouldn't want to be with Michael Kay? Stop.
What do you mean? Who? I mean, you think Jennifer Aniston is pining for Michael Kay?
He's the voice of the Yankees, man.
Okay, so you think she knows anything about the Yankees?
I don't know.
She's Hollywood royalty.
Well, how about, what if she did, though? What if that was her favorite team?
If she was a big Yankee fan?
Big Yankee fan.
That'd be terrible.
She fell in love with Michael.
Over his Yankees calls?
You'd be so jealous.
I would be jealous.
Yeah.
Terribly jealous. But it didn't happen.
Why would you be jealous, though? Sherry is.
I understand.
With the boots and the pants. Oh.
You and the Sherry boots. RJ, is this not a troubling thing that he keeps going back to the boots?
What a terrific look. It's nice.
RJ?
It's troubling that we're not breaking, really.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.